podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Now, over the weekend, Cadell Evans, the MAPE Cadell Evans Gradition Road Race was happening. Massive for our town. So many people surrounding all the streets of the whole course, which was just so beautiful to see. Bells getting rung and pots being hit and just signs and chalk on the ground and everything. It was amazing, right? And congratulations to all the winners. Now, on the first day, there's this street. Now, I believe this is at the end of Barrable Road or at the farm at the end of Barrable Road. I could be wrong on the actual road itself.
Yeah.
We were trying to find this young gentleman. I believe his name is Hamish. And every year, that farm area, as the cyclists ride past, they ride on their farm, these two, it looks like they're young lads, on their motorcycles.
Yeah.
And they ride alongside the cyclists and pop some monos.
Through the paddock,
through the paddock of their farm, right? And so this seems to be a bit of a tradition.
Yeah.
Well, on the first day, they were doing that, but then this happened.
Maybe we've had a crash on the motorbike. The one doing the mono at the front is fine, but he's up and walking, so that is good news.
So out of the two of them, the first rider was fine.
Yeah.
Second rider, bang. Looked like they had a crash.
Yeah.
And they were on the ground, and it was just like, I hope they're okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So the next day, as the cyclists were coming past the same area, SBS were there, and they were recording all the footage, of course. And so they were like, oh, here's that farm again.
Yeah.
And I'm going to paint the picture. The cyclists are going past, once again, I believe on Barrable Road. Cyclists are going past, and in the property adjacent to the cyclists is a ute. The ute has taped on it a red cross.
Right? Yeah.
The young lad is on his motorbike on the back of the ute.
Right.
It is popped up in mono format.
Okay, so I'm sort of up on the, almost the front wheel, almost on the roof of the
ute. On the roof of the ute. It's all tied together.
Yeah.
The young lad is on the back of the motorbike, sitting there with his leg wrapped up.
Yeah.
In a sling, attached to the ute.
Yeah.
And his arm also in a sling.
Oh, no.
And the commentators loving every second.
Well, that's one way to do a mono without crashing. Lock yourself in on the back of the ute.
It looks like he's got his leg bandaged up from yesterday, but you cannot keep a good man down.
They've put the red cross on the roof and all, and he has got the leg bandaged up. Well played.
That's hilarious.
And his arm in a sling as well.
Can you get any more Australian than that?
Can I just, I'm going to get off my chair, standing ovation.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Comedy, tick.
Yes.
Ingenuity, tick. Like, amazing, and this footage has gone so viral.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, once again, I don't want to out anyone, and I won't use their surname, but I believe the guy's name is Hamish. Hamish, thank you for giving everyone someone to laugh at because the comments are just like basically in a nutshell, in a world so grim, it is so good to see something that is funny.
Yeah.
Hilarious and just
someone so committed to the bit as people as you and I are committed to our bits that we go back to the world like Tim just to come back the next day. Brilliant.
If you haven't seen the footage yet, get on our socials. Thanks to SBS.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
It's their radio show in a podcast.
Incoming gym content. So get your eye rolls out of the way. Give it a good old.
I want to be like you. I do. I want to be like you. I don't want to be myself anymore. I want to be someone else.
That's not what it's
someone
about.
Fitter. No, I want to be strong, you know? I want to be able to walk upstairs. And you can do that.
I can walk upstairs.
I've seen
you. You're right. You know, and it's like it's just an outlet, right? So that's fine. We don't need to do a deep dive into the motivation.
Sorry.
Right?
Yeah.
But in as a social situation or like a situation where you have to interact with strangers.
Why?
The gym, because you have to move around them. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
like there are, you don't actually have to like talk to them,
but
you are in the same space as them, right?
Mm.
And it's a very vulnerable space to be in because, you know, you're pushing yourself, you're straining, and you're usually not wearing a heap of clothes. So
straining.
Do you know? Yeah. There's all of that, right?
Do you make noise?
I try not to. No, I'm very quiet.
Thank you.
Always,
I appreciate it.
In every sort of physical exertion
situation.
Good.
Yeah,
no. Silent.
Yeah. Yeah.
My gym, I'm at Planet Fitness in Corio Village, shout out, not a paid presentation.
Wish it was.
They've
right?
got a big light on the wall, it's the lunk alarm, and so if they've, and it's for people that drop their weights, like, like if you're that kind of gym bro or whatever.
Yeah, but sometimes they're really heavy. Like, can I drop it if it's really heavy?
No, don't.
Don't ever drop it.
Put it down.
Okay.
Anyway.
Sorry.
So, It's just a funny situation to be in, and so, and I've said to you before, I think, like, I am always like eyes down because I just never want to make anyone feel weird about being at the gym ever, because I always feel like, you know, it's probably taken them, I know how much it takes you to get yourself dressed and to the gym already.
Yeah.
And particularly for women, right? Yeah. So, and it's there's a whole another little conversation that we can have off to the side, but it can be occasionally like a silent disco because everyone's got headphones in. They have music in the gym, and it's really weird when you're working out with someone and so you've not got your headphones in and you actually listen to the music they play in the gym.
Mm.
But when you've got your headphones in and like you're actually getting into your music, like you're tapping away and then you realise or you catch yourself in the mirror tapping away or do air drumming or something and you're like, oh, people must think I am mental.
If you're air drumming in the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I had a guy the other day. Oh, he was just right into it. He's like pointing his finger at the sky to his music.
Oh,
and I'm like,
nice.
Oh, this might be a bit far, mate. But... You don't generally, like, you see yourself in the mirror, but you don't generally sort of think too much about how you look to the other people in the gym.
Oh, I'd say you're in the minority there. I'd say there's a few that are pretty stoked. Like,
oh, focused on how they look to the people around them, maybe. Yeah.
And good on them. They've worked hard.
I'm just getting in there doing the thing and getting the hell out, you know. But I have little black off-brand earbuds and, you know, they're not like AirPods or whatever. They're just like, I don't know, $100
Aldi pods.
They're good, but they're not super. And so, and I wear them all the time when I'm at the gym. And I'm just like, do my thing. And quite often I'll be there in the middle of the day and I'll get a call from work or whatever. So I'll stop what I'm doing and I'll answer the call.
Oh, bless.
Or mum will call me. I'll be like, hey, Shwaki, you at the gym? Yep. All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Whatever. What I've never noticed until just the other day, might have been Saturday, with these headphones, they have lights on the outsides of them, tiny little pin lights, right, that indicate when you switch them on and that kind of thing, right? But then they go off when they're in use, so they're not lit up.
I thought you meant go off like rave.
No,
they turn off.
They turn off, right? So I'm walking around the gym, like, with just, you know, these headphones, these little earbuds in, whatever, and sitting there, but I took a call from mum the other day and I was sitting in front of the mirror and I clocked myself the side of my head.
Mm.
And I was like, why is that light on? And then I looked at the other ear and there's the other lights on. And so what I've worked out is whenever I take a call, it starts flashing.
Okay.
So on, off, on. And so I'm looking at either side of my head. I feel like I'm like a Boeing coming in for landing.
Look at this guy.
I've got lights flashing on the tips of my wings, on my ears, because I'm taking a call and then you hang up from the call and they go off. And I was just like, oh, just another reason I look like a tit at the gym.
I think it's because you add it to the sneakers that are also lighting up.
Yeah. The wheelies. Stacey sent us a message on the Insta, said, listening to Tom about his headphones at the gym reminded me of the time I didn't realise my headphones were flat. So when I got on the treadmill to start my warm-up and listen to my audiobook, I didn't know that they were flat. I was trying to figure it out why people were looking at me funny. And she goes, and then I realised everyone was listening to Winnie the Pooh audiobook. Because it was just on the speaker on her phone. She thought it was still connecting to... She was
I
just
love
waiting.
That you're listening to Winnie the Pooh, though. One of the classic gentlemen.
Yeah.
Just rocks a croc top.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
We want to know, when did the furniture attack you after a situation that's gone viral online? Melbourne establishment, bar 20 on King Street there. It was 9:30 p.m. Two lads got ejected from the place.
Behaving badly.
One mate number one was there with security at the front. Mate number two walked off, grabbed a chair.
From another restaurant.
And then decided to throw it at security. But instead of hitting security, Scondi's mate.
Outside bar 20, the man and a mate had been inside but were thrown out. One of them grabbed a chair from a restaurant next door, despite staff and customers there trying to stop him, and it's suspected he was trying to throw it at security at the front door, but instead it hit his mate in the head.
Hilarious.
Yeah, very funny. The footage is hilarious. When did the furniture attack you, we're asking. Thanks to Claire that sent us a message and said she got locked in her folding couch, which I assume is the bed. I can only assume is the bed. Claire, feel free to get back with some more information on that. The folding couch she got eaten by.
On 5223 2955. Good morning. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello. What's your name?
Jay, how you going?
Good, mate.
You're live on the radio.
Yeah. When did you get...
Live.
Yeah.
Live?
Yeah.
Geez, I'm nervous.
Yeah, right. If we can do it, anyone can. So when did the furniture attack you?
Actually, it wasn't the furniture. It was a car, actually, this morning. Just right now, 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I went walking in the car and hit me knee right below the knee on the console.
Oh!
As you're coming in, you know, where the keys are around that area.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. My whole leg's numb now.
Did you see through time and space?
Yeah, but my son was laughing at me. I go, what are you laughing at, mate? You know?
Yeah, you get so annoyed.
Yeah, so now my whole leg is numb.
Yeah.
So I've got to go have a bath now. That's what I'm going to do. A nice bath for the old man.
Yes. Nice. Well, watch out the bath doesn't get you because it got me. But we are talking furniture.
Yeah. We've got Stacey and Alicia from Corio on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
When have you guys been attacked by furniture?
It was actually my grandmother, Alicia's great-grandmother. She was folding up the fold-out couch after she came to visit us one day.
Yeah.
And as she was putting the last bit into the couch to fold fully back up, she slid in up to her elbows into the couch and couldn't get back out.
No! These fold-up couches are just eating people left, right, and centre.
Because the older ones, they were quite, like, you know, mechanical, weren't they? And you roll them over, like fold them over, fold them again, and then lift them in.
Yeah. Yep, and it took us about 10 minutes to stop laughing long enough to help her out of it.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy, say thanks.
7:30 tonight, Channel 9, Married at First 2026 is on. Oh, people are pumped. People are excited.
So excited. My favourite time of the year.
Yeah, one of the experts joins us on the line now. Good morning, Alessandra.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Loggy.
We are excited because apparently this is the most explosive season of maths ever. Is this an emotional explosion or are we talking food poisoning and everyone's had to run to the toot style?
Thankfully, no food poisoning that I know of. So all emotional explosions, left, right, up, down, anywhere you look, it's all over the place.
Alessandra, this is your sixth year doing the series. You're the sexologist on the show.
Yes.
What is your favourite part of the show? Do you love the dinner parties? Do you love when they get married initially? Do you love when they meet the family? Like, what is your most favourite part of the experiment?
I honestly really love going on the journey with them. I love my interviews that are off camera that we do when I first meet them. Mm-hmm. And when the participants, they're explaining themselves to me. And then I really enjoy the part where I actually understand more about them through the journey. Because what they self-talk about does not always... It's not always reflected in their behavior when I watch them afterwards in real life. So it's really interesting. And within the constraints of the experiment, I really enjoy doing intimacy week with them, having time to have more chats and being more involved. We don't always see what's happening, and during intimacy week, I have a front row seat into what's happening with the couple. So that for me is always very interesting.
When you meet these contestants or the participants in the experiment the very first time, and then they sort of you have a chat to them and then that ends. Do you ever think to yourself, oh my God, that's probably the worst person I've ever met. This is going to be great. Does that happen?
No. No, that has not been my experience, which is why I love the process of finally understanding.
Yeah,
because at first they're so nice.
Yeah,
like, okay. They self-describe so earnestly, and you think, oh my God, their heart is in the right place.
Yeah.
And like, I'm thinking all these things because you go at face value, and then I am able to observe from a different perspective. And yes, it does not always reflect the same way.
I think you're looking at them from a scientific point of view, that you're like, you know, like a spider that has really bad venom and looks really scary. You're like, but it's so beautiful on the inside. Whereas the rest of us are like, that person is absolute trash. And I have to say, thank you so much, because on the couch, you pull people up. And so as a fan of the show and someone that's watching, I'm always rooting for you to just go for the jugular. And I am very much looking forward to seeing you do that again. Did you have some instances where you really had to pull up people this season?
Well, yes. That is a big part of what I think is our responsibility as experts on the show, because, yes, you want to be able to go on the journey with the participants and help guide them. But when what they're doing simply is unacceptable or is really shooting themselves in the leg and self-sabotaging, it's important for them to be able to see that. And they don't have that self, that capacity of self-assessment and self-reflection. So it's important to do that. And it's important also because there's a lot of things that people don't realize that they accept in their lives. So if nobody calls it out, then, you know, audiences alike don't realize that it's not cool to accept certain types of behavior.
Yeah.
So I do feel a big responsibility. And you'll see it in my face. Sometimes it's not my turn to speak, but you still see it in my face. I can't hide it.
Which we love.
Do you think in like a life sense these days with dating, Alessandra, that the bar is just so low? Do you understand why people get so disheartened?
I think people are disheartened because nobody's putting out effort. I think the whole culture of like the apps and stuff, it's so easy to just discard, and it's so sexy to put in effort. So where is the sexy motivation in anything when it's just so easy to, you know, there's no effort behind getting to know someone or pursuing somebody or letting somebody know with vulnerability that you're into them. And I think, the whole scene lacks tremendously because people are, you know, lazy about the prospect and the process of finding somebody and falling in love.
There's a story out today that we were talking about earlier, Tom and I, where a guy went on a date with a girl. They went to a shopping centre, first date. She wanted to get a bottle of water. He didn't want anything. And then she kind of looked at him like, are you going to pay for this? And he cracked it because he thought, why should I buy you a bottle of water?
It's our first date.
The internet is kind of in two minds about it. Some think that it's wrong for the girl to expect a bottle of water, and some think it's terrible for him because he should have just bought her a bottle of water. As a sexologist, where do you stand on this?
I think just as a human, we need to like not have expectations and then also notice when somebody goes out of their way to do something really nice.
Yes.
And have that count as points toward. Because yes, of course, you should not have an expectation, but that doesn't mean that you don't notice that they don't do that for you. Out of the goodness of just, oh, I like you and I want to do something nice for you. So I think it works both ways. Yeah.
Okay, well,
it doesn't mean that it's okay for him not to pay. He should offer. If they're out on a date, he should offer.
Yeah, exactly.
But if he doesn't,
exactly,
she can certainly take care of it herself.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, look, it may not restore our faith in love, but it's certainly going to be compelling viewing. Looking forward to season 2026 of Married at First Sight.
I think we may change your mind. I think we may change your mind this season. I'll just say that.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
We always love it. Alessandra, thanks so much for your time. Can't wait to see it. 7:30 p.m.
tonight on
Channel 9.
Tom and Loggie. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.